We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
Then I'll just, there's good news.
These are dangerous times.
We could very well have a president under felony indictment and ultimately a criminal trial. It would create an unprecedented constitutional crisis that would cripple the operations of our government. Likely be under investigation for many years. And also, it will probably end up, in my opinion, in a criminal trial.
Donald Trump is the first ever former president to be arraigned on federal charges, but he's also facing several other legal cases.
It's kind of hard to keep track, given that there are so many different investigations and so much legal hot water that Trump is in. But there are four primary criminal cases or investigation. There's the indictment in New York stemming from hush money payments to a porn star and Trump's alleged attempts to falsify business records. There's, of course, the recent indictment that just came down in Florida. This is a federal charge, and it relates to Trump's retention of classified documents after he left the White House, and then his attempts to obstruct the government's efforts to recover those documents, and Trump's efforts to undermine the 2020 election results and derail the transfer of power on January 6th.
It's a beautiful day for the race.
Efforts to undermine the 2020 election results.
Is the favorite today.
Hush money payments.
Was in there.
Derail the transfer of power.
It is 3-1 and at 20-1.
The obstruction of justice.
Now the horses are approaching the starting gate and there they go!
Falsified business records.
Going to the front.
Conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding.
Just second on the rail.
Georgia election interference.
Just third by a length. And
obstruction of justice.
Around the first turn.
Falsified business records.
Is still in front.
Obstruction of and attempt to obstruct an official proceeding.
Just second by a head.
Conspiracy against rights.
Is third. And
obstruction of justice.
Into the back stretch.
Efforts to undermine the 2020 election results.
Now leading the pack.
Conspiracy to defraud the United States.
A second, very close.
Hush money payments.
Is coming up through the butt. And
obstruction of justice.
at the half.
Efforts to undermine the 2020 election results.
Still out in front.
Conspiracy against rights.
The second with plenty of room.
Derail the transfer of power.
It's passing.
Conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding.
Retention of classified documents.
Is fourth and in last place by 10 lengths. I believe it is. Yes, it is.
Obstruction of justice.
Around a turn, heading for home. It's
obstruction of and attempt to obstruct an official proceeding.
In the stretch.
Retention of classified documents.
Is third and
derail the transfer of power.
In the rear.
Oh, oh, oh.
And now they come down to the wire. And it's number one and now number two. And it's very close. It'll either be a photo finish or an oil painting. And now Lewis leads with the left. And Lewis is in there slugging. And it's a battle. And now they're tearing hair. There's hair all over the ring. There's hair all over the place. I don't know whose hair it is. It's mine. And there goes the winner!
Obstruction of justice.
We've confirmed with two federal law enforcement sources that Special Counsel Jack Smith has notified Donald Trump he's a target in the 2020 election interference probe. Is another federal indictment against the former president on its way?
I spent the evening with the radio. Regret the moment that I let you go. I quarreled.
Indicted.
And it feels so good.
Indicted.
Because we understood. There's one perfect fit. And sugar, this one is it. We both are so excited. Because we're
re-indicted.
Former President Trump indicted by a federal grand jury on four criminal counts. These counts include conspiracy to defraud the United States, conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding, obstruction of an attempt to obstruct an official proceeding, and conspiracy against rights. This is all related to allegations that Mr. Trump tried to overturn the 2020 election leading up to the January 6th attack of 2021 against the U.S. Capitol.
We take you now to Kermit the Frog and another fast-breaking news story.
Yeah, I'll take a ham on rye. We'll make it a grilled cheese. Kermit the Frog here on Sesame Street News, and today we are going to interview the occupants of this cottage right here. And this is the cottage of the three...
Indictment.
Three...
Indictment.
I will count them as you talk to them.
I don't think that'll work, Count, actually.
Nonsense. Counting always works.
Okay, just try to stay out of the way, would you, huh?
One!
Indictment.
One.
Indictment.
Right. Gotcha.
Two!
Indictment.
Now will you cut that out?
Three!
Now what's
indictment.
Going on.
Three!
Indictment.
Big!
What's the
What?
With multiple criminal indictments to his credit, with more criminal indictments on the way, with judges he appointed dismissing defamation suits he filed, Donald Trump at this point is the undisputed heavyweight champion of losing.
Breaking news in one of the special counsel's investigations.
The 45th president of the United States has been indicted by a grand jury in Washington, D.C. on four
criminal counts.
Here it is right here.
United States versus Donald J. Trump.
Donald Trump has been indicted.
The largest investigation in our history.
The attack on our nation's capital on January 6th, 2021 was fueled by lies. Lies by the defendant.
We talk about a speaking indictment. This is something more like a shouting indictment.
Yeah.
This is incredibly detailed.
This shows a singular focus for Jack Smith on speed.
A federal grand jury has now criminally indicted the former president.
Jack Smith wants to get to trial, and he wants to get to trial quickly.
The new indictment of former President Donald Trump.
Perhaps the most consequential case in the history of the Justice Department.
This is the biggest legal case in our lifetimes, perhaps almost ever. It's up there with cases like Dred Scott or Brown versus Board of Education, monumental, life-changing cases that go to the fabric of our society.
This is a grave day and a serious one for our country.
Over 10,300 ballots in Georgia were cast by individuals whose names and dates of birth match Georgia residents who died in 2020 and prior to the election.
Our information from the Department of Vital Records, we go through county by county, shows potentially two. So far, two. It could change, it could go, but it's not 10,000.
In Pennsylvania, you had 205,000 more votes than you had voters.
We took seriously every case that was referred to us, no matter how fantastical, no matter how absurd, and took every one of those seriously, including these.
In Wayne County, that's a great one. That's Detroit. 174,000 ballots were counted without being tied to an actual registered voter. Nobody knows where they came from.
I said, did anyone point out to you, did all the people complaining about it point out to you, you actually did better in Detroit than you did last time? I mean, there's no indication of fraud in Detroit.
In the state of Arizona, over 36,000 ballots were illegally cast by non-citizens.
No one provided me ever such evidence.
I just want to find 11,780 votes.
We will never give up. We will never concede. It doesn't happen. You don't concede when there's theft involved.
The indictment hammers home that Trump's intent here, that it lays out in a series of bullet points everybody who told Trump that there was no widespread fraud in the election. And it goes from Mike Pence himself, down through the Justice Department officials, through the top attorneys at the White House, and down to even state level officials that we heard talking there, where they really have the facts themselves. They've looked at all this stuff, they've done the audits, and they say there's nothing here. And a lot of these guys took these claims really seriously and really did investigate them. And there was just nothing there. And that's all reported back to Trump. And then you hear him there speaking on the ellipse. He knows what he's saying is false, and yet he repeats it anyway. And that's hammered home again and again. First, I think, by the January 6th committee in their presentations, but then again in the indictment.
From page 42 of this new indictment, quote, at 7:01 p.m., while co-conspirator one, that's Rudy, was calling United States senators on behalf of the defendant, the White House counsel called the defendant, Donald Trump, to ask him to withdraw any objections and allow the certification. The defendant refused. The attack on the Capitol obstructed and delayed the certification for approximately 6 hours until the Senate and House of Representatives came back into session separately at 8:06 p.m. and 9:02 p.m. respectively, came together in a joint session at 11:35. P.M. At 11:44 p.m., co-conspirator 2 emailed the vice president's counsel advocating that the vice president violate the law and seek further delay of the certification. Co-conspirator 2 wrote, quote, I implore you to consider one more relatively minor violation of the Electoral Count Act and adjourn for 10 days to allow the legislatures to finish their investigations, as well as to allow a full forensic audit of the massive amount of illegal activity that has occurred here. At 3:41 a.m. on January 7th, as president of the Senate, the vice president announced the certified results of the 2020 presidential election in favor of Biden.
We will not bow to lawlessness or intimidation. This failed insurrection only underscores how crucial the task before us is for our republic.
All I can say is count me out. Enough is enough.
The core of the case is broken down into three parts. The first part details how Trump was fully aware that he lost the election, full stop. He was told point blank by multiple people, Republicans who he had hired and who he trusted and who told him in no uncertain terms that he lost to Joe Biden. But he went on to repeat lies about election fraud and a stolen election anyway. The second part of the indictment describes the harebrained, dangerous scheme to get the Department of Justice in on the act. Trump and co-conspirator number four, believed to be an environmental lawyer at the Justice Department named Jeffrey Clark, tried to enlist the DOJ to go along with these lies and tell Republican lawmakers in seven swing states that the U.S. government believed in the fraud allegations and that they should switch out the real electors who were chosen based on the popular vote in their states for fake electors to overturn the election results in those states. But it is part three of the indictment that is the most chilling part. That is the coup part. This section goes into dramatic detail about just how hell-bent Trump and his co-conspirators were to corrupt the United States government by whatever means necessary so he could stay in power, to the point where they were casually discussing using military force on U.S. citizens. According to the indictment, on the afternoon of January 3rd, co-conspirator number four, Jeffrey Clark, spoke with a deputy White House counsel. The previous month, the deputy counsel had informed the defendant, Trump, that there is no world, there is no option in which you do not leave the White House on January 20th, Inauguration Day. Now, the same deputy White House counsel tried to dissuade Clark from assuming the role of acting attorney general himself. And the deputy White House counsel reiterated to Clark that there had not been outcome determinative fraud in the election, and that if the defendant, Trump, remained in office nonetheless, there would be riots in every major city in the United States. To which Clark responded, well, that's why there's an Insurrection Act. So just marinate on that for a second. This is the man Donald Trump wanted to flash install as our new attorney general, casually discussing sicking the United States military on Americans if they dare to go into the streets in protest after their votes were literally deleted in seven states and the electors they chose replaced by fake electors so Trump could stay president. Just stunning stuff. And even though this literal coup attempt was ultimately unsuccessful, it culminated in an hours-long violent attack on the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. Perpetrated by Trump supporters that is in itself completely unprecedented.
I overheard the president say something to the effect of, you know, I don't effing care that they have weapons. They're not here to hurt me. Take the effing mags away. Let my people in. They can march to the Capitol from here.
We're going to have to fight much harder. You'll never take back our country with weakness.
I got 3 men walking down the street in fatigue while carrying AR-15.
Make sure BPD knows they have an elevated threat in the trees south side of Constitution Avenue. Look for the Don't Tread on Me flag.
We're coming to take you out. We'll pull you out by your hairs.
I'm not combat trained. And that day, it was just hours of hand-to-hand combat.
The violence. Not descriptions of violence on January 6th, but the way Trump and his alleged co-conspirators talked about how violence was going to be part of this. How that was factored in to this alleged conspiracy in a way that these folks seem to expect. They're not charged with riot. They're not charged with sedition. They are charged with exploiting the disturbance that they apparently, allegedly, intentionally caused. They knew to count on violence. They factored it into their planning. That comes out in the indictment in a way that will keep you up. It comes up, for example, in the section on trying to decapitate the Justice Department and then put in this guy, Jeff Clark, and use the authority of the Justice Department to tell the states that they should throw out election results. This is just something I want to show you here from page 30 of the indictment. The alleged co-conspirator that's being described here is Jeffrey Bossert Clark. He's the guy who Trump tried to put in charge of the Justice Department, apparently named him acting attorney general so that Clark could carry out this plot there. Just look at this. On the afternoon of January 3rd,
co-conspirator four, who we believe to be Jeff Clark, spoke with the deputy White House counsel. The previous month, the deputy White House counsel had informed defendant Trump that, quote, there is no world, there is no option in which you do not leave the White House on January 20th. Now, the same deputy White House counsel tried to dissuade Jeff Clark from assuming the role of acting attorney general. The deputy White House counsel reiterated to Clark that there had not been outcome determinative fraud in the election, and that if defendant Trump remained in office nonetheless, there would be, quote, riots in every major city in the United States. Jeff Clark responded, well, that's why there's an insurrection act. The indictment continues. Also that afternoon, Clark met with the acting attorney general and told him that defendant Trump had decided to put Jeff Clark in charge of the Justice Department. That same afternoon, Trump decides to put Clark in charge of the Justice Department after Clark says that day, oh, the country's going to rise up in every city in the country because we're going to try to hold power by force. Well, we'll use the Insurrection Act. That's what the Insurrection Act is for. What does the Insurrection Act do? It allows the president to call up the U.S. military and use the army to take over American streets and use military force against the American people. That's what the Insurrection Act is for. That's why there's an Insurrection Act.
So far, three Oath Keepers, keep in mind, have already pleaded guilty to seditious conspiracy. Four more have pleaded guilty to conspiring to obstruct Congress during the insurrection. And the Department of Justice has mountains of evidence in the form of messages the Oath Keepers sent each other. And so the argument from this trial appears to broadly go like this, that the defendants didn't actually do anything illegal. Rhodes and his lawyers in particular have argued that Rhodes was simply waiting for Donald Trump to invoke the Insurrection Act. That's a pre-Civil War law that would essentially allow the president to deputize these militia groups to act on behalf of the government. That appears to be the argument that Rhodes made on conspiracy theorist Alex Jones' show ahead of January 6th.
We have men already stationed outside D.C. as a nuclear option in case they attempt to remove the president illegally. We will step in and stop it. So I've got good men on the ground already. We've been did a lead recon there last week, and we're sorting out what we're going to be staging, and we'll be there. We'll be inside D.C. We'll also be on the outside of D.C. armed, prepared to go in if the president calls
Stuart,
us up.
The big talking point on the right about January 6th is, where were the guns? You know, these people are really into guns. Where were the guns? Well, now we have answers. They were at a hotel room across the Potomac. They were at a Comfort Inn. These people believed that there was going to be a second wave in the middle of the night, and they were going to ferry in guns from a Comfort Inn across the Potomac to the Capitol, like 2 or 3 in the morning. They had this all mapped out, and they were talking in the revolutionary sort of way that people who expected a civil war would. They literally said, one if by land, two if by sea, basically like the bridges, if they were closed off for some reason. We could just take the boats that we have.
The most damning thing for Trump, if you think about this from a defense attorney standpoint, everything goes to his intent ultimately. And then also there's a defense that, hey, these were my minions, my buffers. They acted independently of me. I didn't know what they were doing. But really at the core of this, all Trump really has is an intent defense. And so we see them, the government, refute that in the list of people that told him that this was a bad idea.
I guess you have to be careful what you say. He still is the special investigator, the special prosecutor.
I'm kind of holds yours and others' future.
Go ahead.
I long ago stopped being careful, and I don't worry about the Jack Smiths of this world. I have a chapter in my book called Stand Up to Bullies. So here's what I say to Jack Smith. After the Supreme Court threw out your case, which is, should have been a disgrace, and you should have gone and found another profession because you don't belong in this one. This one will be your legacy, violating the right of free speech of an American citizen. Never mind whether he was president or not. It could be anybody. It could be a homeless person. You don't get to violate people's First Amendment rights, Smith, no matter who the hell you are or no matter how sick you are with Trump derangement syndrome. And this isn't the first time you've acted like an unethical lawyer. It should be the last.
The Mar-a-Lago property manager, charged last week in the classified documents case against former President Donald Trump, made his first court appearance in Miami on Monday. Carlos de Oliveira is accused of scheming with Trump to delete surveillance video that investigators wanted. It's unclear if any footage was erased, but he is charged with conspiracy to obstruct justice and lying to the FBI. Meanwhile, more criminal charges for Trump could be coming soon.
Thanks for the songs from Husker Du, Spike Jonze and His City Slickers, Peaches and Herb, Britney Spears, and The Clash. And thanks for the clips and excerpts from Donald Trump, Chris Jansing, Kermit the Frog, The Count, Andrew Weissman, Merrick Garland, Jack Smith, Neil Katyal, Rachel Maddow, Ari Melber, Bill Barr, Nicole Wallace, Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, Joy Reid, Cassidy Hutchinson, Chris Hayes, and Rudy Giuliani.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.